This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Hello and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is the 15th, the middle of May of the year 2024. Joe Biden out there lying again, claiming that inflation was over 9% when he took office. Oh, how can this guy not know the facts surrounding his time in office, supposedly as your president? I'd like to read to you from the Washington Post. Glenn Kessler writes an article entitled, Biden's False Claim That Inflation Was 9% When He Took Office. I spoke to you about this and actually played the cut from Joe Biden and his CNN interview with Erin Burnett, where she didn't even attempt to correct his lie. She just kept on going. In an interview with Yahoo Finance on May 14th, Biden said, quote, inflation was at 9% when I came in, and now it's down to around 3%. Inflation continues to be an albatross for President Joe Biden as he seeks re-election. After decades of stable prices, inflation of about 2% per year before he took office, the sudden increase during Biden's term was a shock, both for consumers and for policymakers. Inflation, measured by the year-over-year percentage change in the Consumer Price Index, spiked to 9.1% annual rate in Joe Biden's first full year in office in June of 2022. It was the highest level in over 43 years. While the rate of inflation has slowed to about 3%, the overall consumer price index currently sits over 20% higher than it did during Donald Trump's last year in office. While the rate of inflation has slowed to a 3% continuous increase, many experts and economists thought it would have been much lower by now. And the Federal Reserve Bank, in a feeble attempt to cool the rate of inflation rising under Joe Biden's Bidenomics policies, pushed interest rates sharply higher. It has not lowered them in what was expected to be an election year boost for gropey Joe Biden. Biden has tried to lie his way out of it, explaining that inflation was largely the fault of the Fauci flu, the Wuhan, China novel coronavirus of 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and now deep in the middle of 2024. The virus still rages, but Biden's buddies in the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke, slimeball media don't talk about all of the COVID deaths that are still occurring under Joe Biden's term in office. Biden tried to explain that inflation was the fault of the Fauci flu and not his policies, and that his administration has made strides in reducing inflation. But it's a lie, and they've been sloppy in their phrasing. Twice in just the past week, Joe Biden flatly said, right to the microphone, right in front of the cameras, that inflation was 9% when he became president. The reality is, inflation was at 1.4% the day the president took office, and had been very low, below 2.5% for the entire Trump presidency. Here's a quick review of the comments Biden has made on inflation in just the last few weeks. We have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. That was at a news conference with the Japanese Prime Minister on April 10th of this year. No president had the run we've had in terms of creating a job, bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%. That was the interview with Erin Burnett on CNN on May the 8th. Inflation was 9% when I came in, and now it's down around 3%. In an interview with Yahoo Finance on May the 14th, yesterday. They're all variations on the lie on the theme that inflation was supposedly already raging when Biden took office, but it is patently false. It is a lie. The inflation rate was actually 1.4% when Joe Biden put his feeble fingers on the Holy Bible and lied, swearing that he would protect and defend this country, and all he's done is destroy it. Well, White House officials say Biden means to say that the factors for the 9% inflation in the middle of 2022 were already in place when he assumed the presidency. In other words, he claims that higher prices for goods and services would have happened no matter who was elected president in 2020. We all know that to be false. We all know that Trump had the country headed in the right direction, on a path to making America great again. When Joe Biden cheated his way into office, when Joe Biden destroyed the U.S. economy by shutting down our energy independence, by shutting down our net exportation of oil and natural gas, by shutting down businesses, churches, schools, and the economy. And then he sat there and lied during his campaign saying, I'm going to shut down a virus, not shut down the economy. The virus rages on even today, but you don't hear about it because they've changed all the metrics of how they classify COVID deaths. Do you know that the year Donald Trump had with COVID, that last year in office, where the new, novel, never-before-seen COVID virus was killing people in this country? The CDC reported virtually zero deaths from the flu, zero deaths from pneumonia. Every death was classified as a COVID death to try and make Donald Trump look inept. And then after Joe Biden took office, after he lied about his promise to shut down the virus, after he did shut down the economy, they changed the rules of how to classify COVID deaths. And suddenly, we had an increase in flu deaths and a decrease on paper in COVID deaths. But the facts remain the same. If the same rules and metrics were in place, Joe Biden's first, second, and third year in office would have seen ever-increasing numbers of people dying from the China virus. Inflation spiked initially, according to the White House, because of pandemic-related shocks to the economy. We know for a fact that it increased because of Bidenomics, because of Biden's economic policies. The White House tries to claim that increased consumer demand as the pandemic eased and an inability to meet the demand because of supply chain issues as companies had reduced production when consumers hunkered down during the pandemic. They claim that's why inflation rose everywhere. Many peer countries, Biden claimed, were doing far worse than the United States. Trust me, my friends, I've been to Asia, China, Korea, Vietnam, Singapore. I've been to Europe, Germany, Denmark, Switzerland. They didn't have it nearly as bad as we did because they didn't shut it down like the clown Democrats did here. Yes, some pandemic-related shocks rippled around the world, but nowhere was it as bad as how the Democrats destroyed the economy here. A White House official pointed to an influential paper making the case for their lie. But we, the people living in Joe Biden's lie-filled world, know what actually happened. The final event which pushed inflation to 9%, according to the Biden administration, was seen clear across the globe and had absolutely nothing to do with Joe Biden's policies, according to Joe Biden. He claims that it was Russia's invasion of the Ukraine that sent energy prices skyrocketing. Truth be told, energy prices skyrocketed because on day one of Joe Biden's presidency, he shut down drilling for oil and natural gas and put the final nail in the coffin of our coal industry. He destroyed our energy independence. He made us stop being a net exporter of energy and started being a net importer of energy. And then, in a most cowardly fashion, he drained our strategic petroleum reserve in 2022 to buy votes because he thought draining our strategic reserves would lower gasoline and diesel prices in a massive fashion, and all it managed to do was drop the price of unleaded about a nickel. Defending Biden's comment that no president has had the run he has had, a White House official said the Biden record compares favorably to Ronaldus Magnus, Ronald Reagan, who also faced Jimmy Carter's high inflation, and Both presidents saw an overall similar reduction in the rate of inflation, but the unemployment rate, this official says, the unemployment rate increased under Reagan and has not increased under Gropey Joe. Joe Biden said regarding the CHIPS and Science Act in Syracuse, New York of April 25th this year, quote, "When the pandemic shut down the chip factories overseas, price of everything here went up at home. Semiconductor shortage drove one-third of the surge in inflation. 2021 caused long line waits of all kinds of products." If Joe Biden hadn't shut down so many industries from overseas, if Joe Biden had had the forethought and the foresight and the intuition that Donald Trump had, we would have been making those chips in this country long before. But you see, every time Donald Trump tried to impose tariffs on Chinese goods, like semiconductors, the Democratic political party in charge of Congress during the majority of Donald Trump's time in office, they said no. They wanted America to fail under Trump. They're seeing it fail under Biden. Biden claims to be proud of that law that he signed in 2022, the CHIPS and Science Act, which is going to provide $53 billion for U.S. semiconductor research, development, manufacturing, and workforce development. But he's trying to tie that program, which has seen zero results so far, to inflation and pandemic events. During the pandemic, some microchip factories were understaffed or closed due to quarantine policies. But Biden is dead wrong to try and attribute one-third of his created inflation to that semiconductor shortage. The White House official who refuses to give his name, you know, he's going to lose his job because he tells the truth, he said Biden meant to say that one-third of core inflation was caused by a spike in new and used car prices, a point that the president's team posted on social media in June of 2023. He lied then, saying every vehicle needs 3,000 microchips, which were in short supply. Auto prices did not increase because of a semiconductor shortage. Factory shutdowns here in the United States because Joe Biden and the Democratic Party wanted to see everything shut down except Nancy Pelosi's hair salon or Gavin Newsom's high-end parties. That is what caused prices to go up. When the country finally said enough is enough and said, screw it, we're reopening, send us a fine in the mail, when Americans started traveling again and going back to the jobs that Biden and the Democrats destroyed, you will recall the empty dealership lots where new cars were in short supply. And an increase happened in the price of used cars. Here's another Scranton, Pennsylvania interview on Nexstar TV on April 16th, Joe Biden lie. "We created 15 million new jobs. The salaries are outpacing the cost of inflation." That's a lie. Job creation by presidential term is a misleading metric. Biden took office, after all, in the midst of a never-before-seen pandemic. And to some extent, many of the jobs in that 15 million number are simply jobs recovered from the pandemic. He didn't create any new jobs. In fact, they say that as many as 40 million Americans lost jobs during the Wuhan, China novel coronavirus pandemic. And if Joe Biden only recovered 15 million of them, it's a net loss during his presidency. As of April of this year, there were 158 million employees in non-farm-related jobs, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And that is an increase in 3.5 years of only 6 million jobs that were in place in February of 2020 when the pandemic crashed the economy, this article says. For reference, during Trump's first 3 years, he created 6.5 million new jobs. He did end his presidency, thanks to the Wuhan China virus, with negative job creation numbers. But the labor force participation rate, the proportion of working age population that is either working or out there actively looking for work,
remains lower than it was before the China virus. A White House official says, but it's still a little bit higher than what the Congressional Budget Office projected. Biden had to reach all the way to the beginning of his term for the jobs number lie. The second half of his Scranton comment reflects a more recent trend. Since February of 2023, wages have increased only slightly more than the Consumer Price Index, but for the overall Biden presidency, the opposite is true. In other words, going back to the day he put his feeble fingers on the Holy Bible and assumed office, overall wages have not kept up with inflation. In simple layman's terms, you're working harder than ever, and you're taking home slightly more money than before, but the cost of every single thing that you buy is much more than the slight increase in your paycheck. In other words, you are losing ground under Joe Biden. The White House official says when Biden took office, the wage numbers were affected because lower income workers were laid off and average earnings simply looked higher. The Pinocchio test is out, and Joe Biden gets four Pinocchios for his lies. Three times in the last few weeks, Biden has suggested that the inflation rate was at 9% and was skyrocketing the day he took office. The reality is it was 1.4% in January of 2021. According to the White House, Biden is arguing that the conditions for the 9% inflation rate that he caused in June 2022 were supposedly already in place when he became president 17 months earlier. With proper framing, in other words, enough lying, Biden could reasonably attempt to make the case, though economists worldwide know the fact. Biden lied. His other comments on inflation that were examined were imprecisely worded, slightly misleading. A fact that the president has gotten it wrong three times in a row is more than just a slip of the tongue. Biden is lying. New York Post article, Biden repeats the lie again that inflation was at 9% when I came in as president. On Tuesday, the annual U.S. rate he claims was 9% when he took office, when it was actually 1.4, and it didn't become 9% until almost a year and a half into his term. Why does he keep lying? Well, because the mainstream media doesn't report those lies. The mainstream media doesn't remember the facts. Just for shits and giggles, I want to play the lie from the Aaron Burnett interview for you just one more time.
No president's had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%. But look, people have a right to be concerned.
That's correct. We have a right to be concerned. We have a president openly lying and claiming that inflation was 9% on the day he took office. An outright lie by the liar-in-cheat known as gropey, mopey, dopey, little girl groping, chest fondling of eight-year-old girls, pervert, pedo Pete, as his own son calls him, mumbling, fumbling, bumbling, tumbling, crumbling, stumbling, muttering, puttering, shuddering, stuttering, stammering, Joe Biden. I haven't done that in a while. I figured I'd give you the benefit. You're listening to the Truth Hurts program.
Steve and the Truth Hurts program.
Meanwhile, lots of rumors swirling that Joe Biden is going to leave the presidency sometime in June or July. They haven't speculated on whether it's because of the 25th Amendment, whether he's going to resign for health reasons, whether the Democrats are going to simply force him out, or old age will finally catch up with him and he will just succumb to the end of life that elderly people seem to always end their time on earth because of. Meanwhile, speculation is that Camel Toe Harris, the other liar in the White House, will probably not become the president, which will mean Speaker of the House Mike Johnson will ascend to the presidency. All of these rumors and conspiracy theories are a little too much to speculate on without any real data. However, I want you to listen to the vice president and her foul mouth as she spoke to a group of Asian Americans recently.
We have to know that sometimes people will open the door for you and leave it open. Sometimes they won't. And then you need to kick that door down.
And she said, you need to kick that effing door down. We bleeped it out because we're not supposed to use the F word here on the Truth Hurts program. The F word that rhymes with truck and buck and luck. But that's the foul-mouthed, half-black female vice president of the United States of America. I guess she thinks it's okay to drop the F-bomb in front of a bunch of young Asian children. I guess it's okay. After all, you know, Ebonics okay, and they be calling each other the N-word that rhyme with bigger, so she can say the F-word that rhyme with truck. Right? Is that presidential? I think not. And then there's that gross, piss-poor impression of Hillary Clinton when she does the Kamala Cameltoe cackle and then says this.
Excuse my language.
Excuse my language. Give me a break. Anyway, that is your vice president with her foul mouth talking to young, impressionable Asian-American students. Why were they even there? The Biden-Harris administration have done everything in their power to obscure and to ignore and to basically write off Asians in this country as being the other white meat, being the other white people, because Asians outscore even white folks by 5%. They outscore Latinos by an additional 10%, so Latinos are 15% behind the Asians, and they outscore the African American population by a whopping 25% in every standardized educational test and metric. Maybe that's why Cameltoe Harris is out there. She's trying to get some of the votes back from the Asian community, the community that the Biden-Harris administration has taken a huge dump on for this entire 3 and almost half year term. And by the way, we are 6 months out from Election Day. You see the desperation in the Biden-Harris camp. Dana Perino said the following on the Fox News channel.
And I think that one of the problems with Kamala, it's not the laugh, it's the thing she laughs about. It's also that I wish the real Kamala Harris would stand up. Because who is she really? Like, does she want to just be liked or respected?
And the answer is, she just wants to be liked. A woman who slept her way to the top, an obvious imbecile, a woman whose word salad rivals that of the dumbest people I've ever heard in public policy. She just wants everybody to like her because she was a half black girl. And peoples didn't like her because the interracial thing was so bad when she was growing up. And she just feel like a victim. So she want everybody to love her. So she be putting on the black scent, that's a black accent, when she be around the black folks. And then she want to be acting all young with her old ass self when she around the young folks. And then she want to act all prim and proper when she around other people because she doesn't know who she is. She only knows who she wants to act like in order to have people like her. She doesn't care if they don't respect her because no one respects her anyway. Even the people who claim to respect her, like Barack Obama's wife, Michelle Obama, they claim to like Cameltoe Harris, but how often do you see them hanging out in social settings other than when they're trying to get on television and support the Joe Biden presidency? Never. Half black Obama doesn't hang out with half black Harris because he can't stand her. Remember, the largest hurdles to the Asian community in the United States is all of the DEI BS that the Biden administration has spewed forth. Why do you think Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders have had to go as high as the Supreme Court to stop the DEI initiatives that have kept Asian American minorities, a much smaller minority than the African American or Latino communities, out of higher learning institutions like Harvard and Yale and Columbia? Remember? The Asians were kept out because they were too smart and too white, and they weren't dark enough in skin tone, and they weren't poor enough in the community, and they weren't on the lowest end of the educational spectrum. So the blacks and the Latinos get together and they discriminated against the Asian and Pacific Islanders. But see, Harris doesn't remember that. Or maybe she does and she's just trying to play it off. After seeing someone like Cameltoe Harris, who actually, believe it or not, has worse approval numbers than Joe Biden, you have to ask yourself, if the quarterback of the team sucks this badly, and you don't pull him from the game. Why is that? Because the backup is even worse. And Camel Toe Harris, like it or not, happens to be the backup quarterback of the United States of America team. If Joe Biden goes down with an injury, a death, or just his senility is finally reconciled with the American people, and Camel Toe Harris becomes our new president, God help us. I'd rather have her drop an F-bomb in front of some Asian kids that she doesn't like than be dropping real bombs and sending us directly into World War III. I don't know what to tell you, my friends. That is where we are in America, and it should scare the living F out of you. And finally today, Donald Trump, speaking before between 80 and 100,000 people at a New Jersey Shore rally, where Joe Biden, only a few miles away in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, couldn't manage to get more than his own Secret Service detail, a few reporters, and a few beachgoers to come within 100 yards of him. Donald Trump had this to say at the rally about Joe Biden's failure in the economy and other areas.
As you know, summers at the Jersey Shore have always been a fixture of life for families all across the region. But thanks to the 50% Biden inflation tax and the Biden price hikes are continuing to drain over $1,000 from the typical New Jersey family budget every single month. On day one, we will throw out Bidenomics and we will reinstate Maganomics. Maganomics.
And the bottom line is, we can't go much lower than we are if Donald Trump becomes the president. But by God, if Joe Biden gets reelected by hook or by crook, and it will most likely be by crook if he is supposedly reelected, Lord help us. Dozens of Democrat lawmakers signed a letter to gropey Joe Biden, pleading with him, begging him to act on high grocery prices that have been very slow to fall because inflation has not come down. Only the rate of the rise of inflation has occurred in the last year. Pocahontas, Senator Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian princess, led the letter on Monday morning begging Biden to, quote, exercise your executive authority to take additional action to address rising food prices without congressional action, unquote. Without congressional action? Wait a minute. You want the president to order the grocery stores to lower prices? Well, then the grocery stores would have to order the people sending the groceries to them to lower the prices. And then they would have to order the farmers and the ranchers to lower their prices. But yet, you're demanding that people in California get a 25% increase in their pay to cover the lapses in your Bidenomics inflation. Do you want every grocery store to simply file bankruptcy and go out of business? Do you want every farmer and rancher to simply stop producing food? Is that what you want, Elizabeth Warren? The letter got 40 Democratic signatures in the House and the Senate, including, of course, crazy Bernie Sanders, Dick Blumenthal, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Horseface Cortez, and Rashida Tlaib, all the whack jobs on the far left. The lawmakers acknowledge that Americans are facing sky-high food prices under the Bidenomics plan. Grocery prices have not fallen at the same rate that inflation rate has dropped. And this is caused, according to the Democrats, by excessive price gouging by food and grocery giants. Damn, they can come up with some lies. Bidenomics destroys your economy, creates 43-year high inflation, high interest rates, and the only thing the Democrats can do is blame the hardworking farmers and ranchers and grocery store operators? Come on, man. Even stupid Americans should not be falling for this. All right, gang, looking at the clock here, we are out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and we will see you on the next one. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.